that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And this sir, that's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free stay.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. And by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live, local, consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patch Creighton with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP. Let's go live on the text line. On Twitter at PCreighton1. No Fouts on the other side of the glass. At the master controls. At Fouts underscore Noah on said Twitter. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. On the ESPN 975 app, ESPN975.com. Hey, Google, play ESPN 975. Alexa, play ESPN 975. It worked, didn't it? Pretty cool. Take us with you everywhere you go. And for those of you who are wondering, yes, I still work here. Apparently, that was a topic of discussion. Hey, where's Creighton? Creighton still work here? Hey, well, there's this thing called the NBA Finals. And unfortunately, when they are on, we are not. Which means there'll be no show tomorrow. And honestly, it doesn't matter who wins tomorrow at the end of the day. This will be the last one that we have to miss because of the NBA Finals. And then we get to be back on a regular basis. And poor Noah's got to look at me again and remember who the hell I am. He wasn't sure. And when I first walked in, he kind of looked at me like, all right, who's this sketchy-looking character? And let me see here.
Yeah, I'm glad you announce yourself at the beginning of every show. I forgot who you were.
Yeah, it's a hard knock life being on the other side of that glass there. No Fouts. So, yes, I do, in fact, work here. And we had college orientation with my son at UTD. So that went well. He really enjoyed it. I found it to be the parent side probably could have been done in like 2 hours. Didn't need 2 days of it. But the kid side was, you know, very interactive, and, you know, the kids got a lot out of it, and they had fun, so that was important. And my son's Eagle Board of Review was last week. He is officially an Eagle Scout. Put in the work, did the time, did the hustle, and earned the rank. I'm really proud of him. You know, that's a lot of work. A lot of work to become an Eagle Scout. So, really proud of that kid. He did a great job. Other people doing great jobs today. How about your Houston Astros? Putting up a 9 spot on the old Junk Grabbers. And they follow up a come-from-behind win last night with a shellacking today. 9-2 beatdown over the Junk Grabbers of Arlington in a game that featured not one, but two immaculate innings. Just never happened before. Not just that two immaculate innings had never happened in the same game before or by the same team before, but had never happened on a single calendar date among every team all across baseball before. In fact, there have been a total of 105 immaculate innings in the history of Major League Baseball. It's not a lot. For those of you keeping score at home, we know you are. 105 in, let's say, the 123-year history of modern Major League Baseball. And the Astros had two of them in the same game. Pretty damn cool. The best part about it is the guys who threw them, Luis García, who last time we saw him was getting slapped around like a redheaded stepchild. Well, he went six innings, allowed one earned run, didn't walk anyone, struck out nine. And if you listen to this radio station during the day, you would think Phil Maton is the worst reliever in baseball. But he's got a 3.33 ERA, and he threw an immaculate inning as well. For those of you who do not know what an immaculate inning is, it is three strikeouts on nine strikes. Boom, that's it. Nine pitches. Nine pitches, nine strikes, three strikeouts, inning over. They also got clean innings from Seth Martinez and Brandon Belak. And it was an easy day at the office for your Houston Astros as Tyson Miller, well, he got punched in the you-know-what. Six earned, didn't make it out of the first. Can't say I'm upset about it. Too damn bad. Rangers also had some fielding gaffes. There was what should have been a double play grounder that Corey Seager decided to come home with. And then, well, the Rangers' young third baseman, Brad Miller, he couldn't handle the throw from the catcher as they tried to chase Jose Altuve back up the line. And let's just say the Astros would then score a bunch of runs. Gee. Really hate when that happens. Astros taking two of three. And really the sad part is they didn't take all of them. But they take two of three from the Junk Grabbers. Maybe that Kyle Tucker home run yesterday as part of the comeback. Maybe that got this team moving forward. Because today there were some good signs. Like Martin Maldonado with a 442-foot home run. Maldi also had himself a double. Two hits and three ribs for Martin Maldonado, whose batting average is now a robust 160. Jose Siri got a hit. Aledmys Diaz got a hit. Yuli had a hit. In fact, Yuli had a two-run homer. The only starter to not get a hit today was Alex Bregman, who was 0 for 4 with a walk. Everybody else got a hit. Pitching went back to the way they had looked when the team was going well. Combined, they had 14 strikeouts today and only allowed four hits. And that's how you handle bad teams. You get a lot of strikeouts, you put some runs on the board, and you basically take the spirit out of them real quick. So the Astros once again get a series win over the Junk Grabbers of Arlington, who they basically have ownership in. And now they'll come home and they'll take on the White Sox. And boy, the White Sox, what a disaster. What the hell is going on the South Side? They're 30-31. Now, I'm not entirely sure how Tony La Russa still has a job when you consider last year they were a 93-win team. They had a run differential of plus 160, which would have been fourth best in the American League. And they were considered to have somewhat underperformed in only getting 93 wins a year ago. How is this team a game under in third place? They can't score. This is how bad the offense has been for the White Sox. They've scored one more run than the Seattle Mariners, who also can't score. They have scored one more run than the Baltimore Orioles, who can't score. The White Sox this year have been an absolute disaster. A team with that much talent and those kind of aspirations, building off of a year where they had 93 wins, and they come out and they're under 500 in the middle of June. Now they get to come to Minute Maid Park. And, you know, Michael Wilbon on PTI had very interesting things to say about the White Sox coming into this series with the Astros. We'll tell you about it next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, I'm in it from my good friend Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. You guys know my story by now. I've been telling it to you for 3 years. 3 years ago is when I met Dr. Ben. I actually went to go talk to him, deal with a sinus infection issue, because I would get them every other month. And that was normal for me. I always got them every other month. In fact, before I even moved down here, I had sinus issues, and I would get a sinus infection every other month, and I'd call the doctor's office and say, hey, I have a sinus infection, and they'd just send me antibiotics to the pharmacy, and I wouldn't even have to go in and see anybody, because they knew. I got them that often. Didn't matter. They knew. But Dr. Ben was the only doctor that actually wanted to know why I got those sinus infections constantly. So when I went in to go see him, we had a conversation. I talked about different issues that I'd had and different diagnoses that I'd been given. And went down the hall, did a CT scan right there in his office. Didn't have to go somewhere else. Didn't have to get a referral. Never go see another doctor. Went all of two doors down the hall. They did the CT scan. It took a whopping 5 minutes. And less than 10 minutes later, Doc had the results on the wall explaining to me exactly what's going on in English and not medicalese so I can actually understand it, because that helps. And it turned out, well, I had staph infection in my sinuses. And that's why it never really went away. And I had a lot of damaged tissue in my sinuses. And I had a deviated septum that I didn't even know I had. So I had a procedure with Doc. They removed the staph infection. They did a balloon sinuplasty that fixed all the damaged tissue in my sinuses, opened up my airways, and they did a septoplasty to fix my deviated septum. And since then, guess who hasn't had a sinus infection in 3 years? This guy. I almost don't even know how to explain that. Not having to be on antibiotics every 6 weeks. Being able to breathe like a normal person. Other side effects. Now that my airways are fully open and I don't have a deviated septum, guess who stopped snoring? Oh, yeah, this guy. No more am I the chainsaw. You don't have to live with sinus pain. You do need to call Dr. Ben Salento. 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. 9313, or go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com, TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Make your appointment. Go have your consultation with Dr. Ben Salento, most major medical accepted. So NHL Stanley Cup Finals just underway, and it appears that the woman who sang the national anthem was not banned because she never did a horns down sign. Apparently that's a thing. Horns down is offensive and gets you banned from events. Not the Stanley Cup Finals. She didn't do it. Now, Michael Wilbon on PTI had some very interesting comments regarding the Chicago White Sox. And look, for a team that won 93 games that is now under 500, for a team that clearly doesn't like and doesn't mesh with its 727-year-old manager, and then to see Tony La Russa issue an intentional walk to a guy who had a 1-2 count, only for it to backfire spectacularly. The players don't trust Tony La Russa. And if they don't trust him, they're not going to give him their best. And, you know, Wilbon noted when the White Sox lose, they get hammered. Like, they gave up 11 runs to the Dodgers last week. They had back-to-back losses to the same junk grabbers the Astros just knocked the snot out of. Back-to-back losses to the junk grabbers where they gave up 11 and 8 runs. Wilbon said they don't just lose, they get crushed as if they're physically afraid of the opponent. Oh, wait. They are afraid of the Astros. As soon as they see the Astros bus pull in the parking lot, they want to run and cower. Now, you might remember the Astros, the White Sox, they had this playoff series that the Astros handled in 4 games. And in all 3 of the Astros' wins, they won by at least 5 runs in each of their 3 wins. Last year, when the Pale Hose came to Minute Maid Park for a 4-game series, the Astros swept them and outscored them 27-8. Maybe the White Sox are afraid of the Astros. I don't think it would be a surprise to think that there are plenty of teams that are afraid of the Astros. And this year's Astros team offensively hasn't been anything close to last year's team offensively. But we still see the offense come in spurts. You know, when we take a peek at what the Astros are doing, like, all right, well, why are the Astros, quote, a mediocre middle-of-the-pack offense? And, you know, part of it is one day they'll score 9 runs, and another day they'll score 2 runs. When you look up and down the lineup, Altuve. Well, Altuve's hitting 274, which isn't great, but it's not terrible. It's certainly acceptable, and his OPS is nearly 870. So Altuve is hitting. Chaz McCormick and Jose Siri in center field, not hitting. Jazzy Fizz is at 219, and Jose Siri still riding the interstate at 195. Michael Brantley's hitting 300. Like, we just expect Michael Brantley's going to hit 300. That guy could, like, wake up, show up at the park in his PJs, hit 300. Alex Bregman, 214. Another very slow first half for Alex Bregman. Jordan Alvarez, 312. His OPS is 1027. Jordan Alvarez is an MVP candidate right now. Martin Maldonado is hitting $160. And without looking it up, I can almost guarantee Jason Cashew is hitting under 200. Don't even have to look that up. Is he hitting more than 170 at this point? All right, if we do the actual lookup, Castro's hitting 097. Castro's hitting DFA. And look, I know this was supposed to be Jason Castro's last year, and he was going to retire after the season, and he was hoping to, you know, maybe retire a World Series champion. At least retire with another AL championship. Jason Castro might not make it to the end of July. It's one thing to be a soft bat. 097, and I know it's 62 at-bats, but 097 is embarrassing. People wanted Nico Goodrum's head because he was hitting 116 in 43 at-bats. And you knew that guy was the 26th man on the roster. You know, if Martin Maldonado, he's a little hot right now. Maybe he'll get up to 200. If Martin Maldonado hits his career average, 214, I think the Astros will mostly live with it, even though his reputation as a defensive catcher probably better than his actual play right now. But Jason Castro is also supposed to be a good defensive catcher. And it's not there. How many balls do I have to see Jason Castro throw into center field? I'm about done with Jason Castro. So I hope that between now and the All-Star break, about a month, Castro at least looks like a legitimate major league player. The defense is back. He puts together some quality at-bats. Because you can't have two zeros at catcher. It's one thing to have one guy who's a soft stick. You can't have another guy who's a no stick and isn't a great defender. But the Astros lineup is half hitting and half not hitting. And one of the guys who was hitting, Jeremy Pena, well, he landed on the IL. And Ledmus Diaz, who's going to replace him, well, not hitting. Big old 217 made an error today. Another guy needs to step it up. Coming up next, we'll talk with our buddy Bob Nightingale from USA Today. We'll get the latest from him on what he thinks is going on with the Astros, the other teams in the American League. Get the lay of the land, Major League Baseball. Coming up next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Joining us on the HRMP guest line right now, longtime MLB insider, USA Today, also MLB Radio Network. He's our buddy Bob Nightingale. What's going on, Bob? How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks, Patrick.
Always appreciate you having some time with you. Look, we give you the respect of having you come into AC/DC. Not everybody gets that respect, Bob. Only you get that kind of respect around here. I just want you to know we appreciate you.
That's awesome. Great to hear.
Hey, well, let's start with the Astros who, put a mollywhopping on the junk grabbers today. This Astros team, for the most part, they've pitched very well. The offense has been hit or miss. Some days the offense clicks. Some days they can't hit a beach ball. How much concern do you think there legitimately is for Alex Bregman or Yuli Gurriel that really neither one of them has kind of found anything close to a groove so far this year.
Well, that's a concern. It's been going on too long for particularly Bregman. And it's like, what's going on here? You know, he's a better player than this. He should be a perennial MVP candidate. And, he hasn't been. So there's some concern there for sure. I'm not sure as much on Dorniel. Yeah, they'd like to get some more offense, obviously, at the trade deadline. Probably need some left-hand relievers as well. Don't have any. So, but that being said, got a nice, nine-game lead to sit around. And you can be patient, and hope things work out, at least kind of diagnose what exactly you need by August 2nd.
The Cubs, last year moved an awful lot of players. This year, well, they stink. I was trying to find a nice way to say it. They stink. They've lost 8 in a row. Wilson Contreras is one of those guys who's, reported to be maybe on the move. Should the Astros be targeting Wilson Contreras, and how many other teams in the American League that have a legitimate shot at, at least getting to an ALCS should be targeting a Wilson Contreras?
Well, there'll be, he's the best position player in the market. I know they love Maldonado and stuff. Just hasn't been able to hit. But, Contreras is more than a hitter. Also very good, defensively. He can DH, whatever you want him to do. I know I know he's American League. I know the Mets need some catching help. That would make some sense there. I don't see I'm trying to think of perennial contenders that, the White Sox would love to have this guy. The Cubs really going to trade him to the White Sox, and they still have Yasmani Grandal. They'd love to dump him. They're kind of, stuck with him now. Going around the horn. I don't see Minnesota. But, it's probably about three or four teams that would be legitimate contenders that would go for him. We'll see what the cost is. Might as well ask for a ton. Then by August 2nd, go to the highest bidder. That's what they did with Chris Bryant. And Bryant, they didn't get much at all for Bryant. But we'll see what happens to Contreras. I would think as the time goes down, his price tag could go down as well.
Bob, the Astros, Lance Piccolo Jr. hasn't thrown a pitch yet. And he's only starting to throw off a mound. Jake Odorizzi suffered that, injury. Look, I think he's really lucky he didn't tear his Achilles the way that thing looked. And he's starting to run off the mound, but not necessarily throw off of it. Do the Astros need another starter come deadline time?
There isn't that many out there. You're talking about, Maness from Oakland. You got the two guys from, two guys from Cincinnati. They're gonna, jump in there. Those guys are good, but they're not, I'm not sure they're that, the number one guy. Castillo is very good with Cincinnati, he's probably close to number one, maybe number two guy. But I think, if they can get McCullers back by himself, if we get over to Odorizzi for now, but McCullers, that would solve a lot of problems, because he'd be, a perfect ace-type guy. He's dominated before in the postseason. No reason why he can't do it again.
All right, well, let's get around the rest of the American League. What's gone wrong for the Angels that they have just absolutely tanked?
Well, it's the same thing. It's the pitching. Every year they talk about, we're going to address this. And, they made some nice moves, but they still never addressed it. It's not got off like it was. It's just okay. The offense is better. Let's face it. The Anthony Rendon contract has really crushed them. They were going after Garrett Cole, and when Cole turned them down, they said, we'll spin off and we'll get some offense instead. That was a big mistake. They should use that money to get a couple more pitchers. So they just don't have a pitching depth as a lot of teams. Otani's been good, but not an MVP like a year ago. Trout's been solid.
you know, not an MVP candidate, but very good. But yeah, just you know, the bullpen, but particularly the rotation, starting to sputter right now.
About the White Sox are a game under. It seems like there's a lot of consternation with Tony and the players. I still can't get over the let's give an intentional walk to a guy that you're ahead on 1-2. They're a game under. They've had some games recently where they didn't lose. They just got their doors kicked in. Are the White Sox salvageable? And does Tony have to go for the White Sox to be salvageable?
No, Tony's not going anywhere. I mean, he's as safe as any manager in baseball. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame, hired by the owner, Jerry Reinsdorf. And, you know, it's not Tony's fault that everybody except for, you know, two guys, you know, have underachieved, grossly underachieved. You know, I'm talking about everybody from the bullpen to the starting rotation, just up and down. But, you know, you take away, you know, Bond and Tim Anderson when he's healthy. You know, everybody else has been awful. And they've had a ton of injuries, too. So it's not his fault. I mean, it's like, hey, let's pick on the old guy here. It's not his fault at all. And I'll back him. I know minority here. I'll back him on that 1-2 count. You know, live in Phoenix. I shoot the Dodgers an awful lot. Trey Turner's one of the top, you know, 5-10 players in all of baseball. Max Muncy, when he just came off the injured list, they kind of sent him down there because he was so bad. I mean, he was one of the probably bottom five offensive players in baseball. And, you know, the one stat I saw was you look at Trey Turner, 1-2 count against left-handed pitching over the last 3 years. He's hitting .344. That's fourth best in all of baseball. The count was 1-2. So I think he would have got crushed if he had pitched to Turner. Turner hits a home run. And you run, you know, you'd much rather have a lefty-lefty matchup with Max Muncy.
If they had walked Turner right off the bat, I don't think anybody would have had an issue with it. But you got ahead of him 1-2. Right, but you got ahead of him 1-2.
Remember, when the bat first started, Freddie Freeman was on first base. The count didn't get to 1-2 until the relief pitcher, young guy, threw a wild pitch.
Right, and then Freeman was able to take the base. But still, yeah, if you're going to walk him.
They don't trust the reliever, but they're gonna, you know, you're not going to walk a guy with a guy at first. If, you know, if Freddie Freeman was already on second base when the plate appearance started, yeah, then I totally agree. But he wasn't. He was on first base. You know, if Freddie Freeman, you know, had went to second base on, you know, any attempt in the count, it would have been the same thing. So it looks funny because it's two strikes. It's not the first time it's happened. But, yeah, I mean, and La Russa's talked about it and doubled down on it. But the stats prove his point. We'd rather hit, you know, pitch to a guy that hits .344 against lefties, even when you're down 1-2 in the count, or the guy, Max Muncy, who is hitting .150 all year, and he just stunk the place up.
Now, I understand. We're talking with Bob Nightingale, USA Today, longtime MLB insider. Bob, are the Yankees really this good, or is there going to be a regression to the mean?
Well, it's got to be a regression. They're not this good. They're good, but everything is going right. I mean, you pick up Matt Carpenter off the scrap heap. You know, he turns on Babe Ruth. The pitching's been lights out. They took up your starting rotation. The bullpen, you know, that's been great, too, even without Chapman, you know, going to the injury list. They haven't had many injuries. You know, Aaron Judge is like a man possessed. So, and don't drop off. But that being said, I mean, right now, they're clearly the best team in baseball.
Yeah, and the Yankees are a team that's gotten hammered by injuries over recent years, and they've kind of stayed injury-free. Is it, you know, do you think just that many guys are, you know, finally over whatever their ailments are, or is it it's sitting around the corner, it's going to happen because it always happens?
Well, you know, Shanks won the injury list once, so, you know, that always happens. A couple of times, and Judge has been hurt off and on over the years. He's managed to stay healthy. But, you know, if you get a big lead, you can give guys days off and everything else. You know, hey, the starting rotation, nobody saw it being this good. And they're playing much better defensively. Kuda front office, you know, bringing in Cortez as a starter. You know, getting Matt Carpenter, like you said, released by the Texas Rangers on a minor league contract. So that was a gift. So, yeah, I mean, right now they're the favorites. They're not going to come out and say, oh, no one can beat the Yankees. Yeah, they can be beat. It, you know, we've seen that over, you know, since 2009.
No, it is kind of crazy to see Gerrit Cole with a 3.33 ERA, and he's their only starter with an ERA over 3, which, I mean, they're pitching. I think they don't get enough credit for their pitching. You know, Taillon last year faded in the second half, and he's been great. Montgomery is pitching a lot better than he did last year, but he's another guy. He doesn't walk a lot of guys. There's not a lot of traffic on base. You know, so he doesn't hurt himself. And I don't think they could have asked for more than what they've gotten from Luis Severino coming back from everything he's had to deal with. I think he's been huge for them. He's been adding another all-star.
No, you're right. Yeah, I mean, the rotation has been, you know, no injuries, everybody just pitching unbelievable. I can't see that being the same. You know, you look around, you know, the American League, and, you know, they don't have the household, the Astros don't have the household names. But with those young pitchers and McCullers comes back, you know, you can certainly match up with the Yankees in that rotation. The Yankees, you know, have a much better offense, you know, right now. But, you know, the Astros could certainly give them fits. In a in a best of 7 or best of 5 series,
Bob. Earlier in the year, the Boston Red Sox bullpen couldn't get out little league kids. Now they seem to have righted the ship, and you know they're pitching well. They're scoring runs. They're back 4 games up. They're you know within 3 games or so of the Jays. The Rays are in there. Of those 3, the Jays, the Rays, and the Sox. Which one of those do you think is the best team?
I'll go Jays, slightly over the Rays. I just think, you know, it's such great young talent there. You know, they got some fabulous pitching, you know, with Gosman there. I think getting their starters, Los Rayu, and they got the depth in the minor league system to go get it done. I'll go with them. And, you know, the Rays always surprise everybody. So, you know, I'll put the Rays there, too. Boston now, you know, they've taken advantage of a really soft schedule. I know people talking about that with Atlanta, with the winning streak. But between between May 6th and June 16th, they've only had 4 games against teams with a winning record. So after their series ends tomorrow against the A's, you know, I think, what is it, 36 or next 42 games are against teams with a winning record. The schedule gets very, very tough for the Red Sox.
He's Bob Nightingale, USA Today, longtime MLB insider. Also, you hear him on MLB Radio Network on SiriusXM. Follow him on Twitter, at Bob Nightingale, at B Nightingale. I don't know why I threw some extra letters in there, but maybe you should have 2 accounts. At B Nightingale.
No, I put the letter B because Nightingale is a long name. I said, let me shorten it a little bit.
Bob, always appreciate you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care, buddy. See you better.
All right. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, with us on the HR&P guest line. This is Late Hits.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Christo Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
A minute here for Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Physical Therapy. You know, went to go see Dr. JJ yesterday, and I told you, you know, I've been recommended for neck surgery over 10 years ago. I have disc issues in my neck that have caused me to not be able to turn my head for days at a time, not be able to lift my arm for days at a time, cause my arm to go, my left arm to go numb for days at a time. And the results I've gotten working with Dr. JJ have been awesome. No more restriction of movement. no more pain. Like, I don't feel pain laying down at night, putting my head on the pillow to try to go to sleep. I used to be in so much pain, like, it was hard to fall asleep. I don't have that pain at all anymore. And I no longer have the restrictions on my arm. I can lift it. I can move it. I got no issues with it. I can wave it around. I used to be able to do that. The numbness issue where I'd have to look at my hand if I'm holding something, make sure I didn't drop it, I don't have that issue anymore either. Everything is normal. In fact, I've regained a lot of the strength in my arm since I started working with Dr. JJ. If you deal with pain, if you deal with loss of strength, a loss of range of motion, a loss of balance, well, stop dealing with it and go take care of it with Dr. JJ and get Physical RX. Give her a call, 346-386-6683, 346-386-6683. She's got a brand new facility in North Houston. Let her help you the way that she has helped me. Go online, getphysicalrx.com, getphysicalrx.com. Now, look, I get what Bob was saying about, you know, why they walk Trey Turner. And I get it. You know, look, Freddie Freeman was on first. So the reason you're walking him is to, you know, get back to the force plays and the potential double play. But if you're so afraid of Trey Turner with two strikes, then why not just walk him to start? I mean, I can't imagine your pitcher sucks so bad. You can't have him put three low and away on one and two. I mean, he was good enough to get to one and two. He can't get one more strike or a ground ball or a fly ball or a pop-up. You know, I get, oh, well, Max Muncy's been struggling. Well, he was struggling before you threw Trey Turner the first pitch. I got to believe you're more afraid of Trey Turner before you throw him a pitch than when you got him in a hole 0-2. And it came back to bite him. Of course it did. Now, as far as our Astros are concerned, with the Astros and their intermittent offense. I know Yuli hasn't really done anything, and Yuli's coming off a year where he was the AL batting champ. I know he hasn't gotten a whole lot of it done. And his on base is terrible. He's like completely forgotten to walk. But, you know, outside of the COVID season, this is the first time Yuli has been in a protracted slump. It's not the first time Alex Bregman has been in a protracted slump. Now, Breggy kind of has a history of not being a very good first half player. And, you know, it's one thing to, you know, have a slow month. Like, for example, Bernie Williams was a great hitter. And we also used to say, when the weather gets hot, so does Bernie Williams. Bernie Williams couldn't hit in April to save his life. And it was like a fantasy baseball strategy. Never draft Bernie Williams. Let the guy who drafted him in the second round be so angry that Bernie Williams is hitting 196 at the end of April and then steal him for a song. I can't tell you how many times I did that. At least 5 different years. I stole Bernie Williams for 5 cents on the dollar from somebody in a fantasy baseball league because they never paid attention to the fact Bernie Williams didn't hit in April. But he hit the rest of the year. So if we were going to say, look, Alex Bregman just doesn't hit in April, I'd be like, okay. It's, you know, when you don't hit in April, in May or June, last year was kind of a weird year for Alex Bregman, right? Because, well, he hit in April. He almost hit 300, 299 in April. He had four homers a year ago. And he had 297 in May. Now, he only hit two homers in May, but he still had 15 RBI and 20 walks. He was a productive player. Hit 196 in June. And he missed most of April. Missed most of August. So, you know, Bregman last year, that hit 12 homers. Now, it is 348 at-bats. It's a half a season. It's not a whole season. But the injury thing was also another issue. That's kind of the conversation that we had in the offseason about, you know, how do they replace Carlos Correa? Well, it can't really be Alex Bregman, because if you're worried about Carlos Correa being injured, well, Alex Bregman's been injured. And they've been leg injuries. But the power for Bregman disappeared. And then he had off-season surgery on his hand, and that was supposed to help him. Because, look, if you've got a bad hand or a bad thumb, and you can't get the grip and the torque on the bat, you're not going to have any power. But his hand is supposed to be, you know, supposed to be right, supposed to be fixed. So why isn't Bregman hitting? He hit 233 in April. And he hit 221 in May. And he's 8 for 43 this month. Like, what's wrong with Alex Bregman that he's got six homers in 215 at-bats? His OPS is 694. That's backup light-hitting infielder OPS level. And it's bolstered by the fact that he's got an extra 120 points on his OBP because he walks a lot. What's wrong with Alex Bregman? You know, look, the COVID season, obviously he missed time there too. Had six homers. You know, managed to have an 800 OPS because he had the doubles. You know, 153 at-bats, not a ton of at-bats. Six homers is okay. It's not great, but it's okay. But where is the power gone on Alex Bregman? Considering the contract that they have on him, if I'm the Astros, I'm kind of wanting to find out where has the power gone on Alex Bregman. Because he's a young guy. I'm invested in him. Yuli's contract's up at the end of the year. He's gone. Machete's contract's up at the end of the year. He's gone. You know, none of the center fielders, oh, they're all making the minimum. It's Alex Bregman is the key guy who's not hitting. And they got to figure that out. All right, coming up next, this guy's still out here talking all the nonsense. Tell you about it next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.